Church, I'm so, so glad to be with you today. I'm really, really thankful for the opportunity to share with you, to go through scripture together, but also to share a little bit about what God is doing in Japan. I'm just really, really thankful to get to worship, sing with all of you today. So like Pastor shared, me and my wife and our daughter, Ray, who, by the way, if you introduce yourself to her today, later, she is going by Tinkerbell today. Those of you with children will understand what that's like. And we live in Kobe, Japan, and we serve with a ministry called Mustard Seed Network. I have a picture of Japan that I think will show up and show where we live for those of you that aren't familiar with Japanese geography. And although where we live in Kobe in Japan and Lano are really different, I'm really thankful that we get to serve the same God. And that the God of Japan is the God of Lano as well. So there, the green arrow is pointing to Kobe, kind of on the southern part there, the turn of Japan. And I wanted to share a little bit about our family's story with you this morning. You see, my wife moved to Japan in 2013, and I moved in 2015, and we met in the city of Nagoya, which is a little bit to the east. We were teaching at an international Christian school there. And while we were there, we were attending a small international bilingual church, and we had to go on the subway for about an hour to get to our church. And neither one of us really knew anything about Japan before we moved. But as soon as you get there, you start to see the deep, deep need for the gospel in this country. And we are struck, and my wife shared this picture with me. She said, when we're riding on that subway train, and I, you know, we're both pretty tall for Japanese people, and we can kind of see through the whole train. And subways in Japan are really busy. And we're on that car, and we realize we're probably the only Christians on this entire train of at least 500 people. Not only that, we're probably the only people that know a Christian. And this just started to work on our heart. You see, Japan is a country of 127 million people, and less than 1% is Christian. And only 0.2% go to church on a Sunday. The city where I live, Kobe, it's actually higher, 0.4%. And so if we were to pick up Lano and to move it and put it in Kobe, that'd mean that on a Sunday of all of Lano, there'd be about 15 people, which I think is about this section over here at church on a Sunday. And so what we're seeing is that 95% of people in Japan have not even had the chance to hear the gospel. And only 88% don't know a Christian. Real quick, I want to play a quick video that'll share a little bit more and give you a picture of what this looks like in someone's life. I can share a little more of our story with you while that's getting ready. So while we were at our school, we were feeling this need to be a part of there being more churches in Japan. And God called us to Mustard Seed Network, and Mustard Seed's network goal is to plant 12 churches in urban Japan in the 12 largest cities of Japan. And this is going to share more about that.
You can find anything in the city. Coffee shops, one on every corner. Museums, pick your era. Hundreds of languages harmonize, forming the heartbeat of the city. And people, lots of people. This is especially true in Japan. One of the most populated countries in the world, Japan is developing at an amazing rate. But what if there was one person in one city who couldn't find the one thing he was looking for? Enter Yoshio. For 68 years, he sensed there was a God. But in a city of millions, he couldn't find one witness. That's something a coffee shop, a museum, or government building couldn't offer. Enter a church. All it takes is one community of believers. When Yoshio walked through the door and into a community, there was one church for every 16,000 people, and it was there he found what he was looking for, a community and a gospel witness. Churches are still the hope of the world, the center of the city. There are plenty of cities, but not enough churches. Mustard Seed Network is ready to bring more churches to Japan. They have a vision to plant a church in the 12 largest cities in Japan. That's 8 more by 2025 to be exact. More communities, more gospel witnesses, more Yoshios. Churches spread the gospel, pure and simple, from Jerusalem to Japan. There are cities full of people looking for a home, looking for God. You should be able to find anything in the city. Let's keep it that way. With enough churches, anyone can find Jesus in the city.
And so as you guys can see, the gospel has not taken root in Japan. One of the things I ask myself often is, what am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do here in Llano and in the circles that you're in for the people that don't know Jesus? Or the parts of U.S. culture, Japanese culture, where the gospel is not present? I want to look at what the scriptures have to say. So the first scripture I want to look at together is Romans 1:16. That'll be up on the screen, and I invite you to take out your Bible if you'd like. For I'm not ashamed of the power, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. The power for salvation is the gospel. There's nothing inside of me, as I live in Kobe, Japan, that can save someone by itself. It's the power of the gospel. It's the good news above Jesus that will save people. It's not my strengths. It's not some new mission strategy. It's not my ability in the Japanese language, which is a good thing because I'm still very much learning. It's the power of the gospel. And the same is true here in Llano. I want to read one more verse together. It's Romans 10:17. So faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes through hearing. Hearing what? The word of Christ, which we can also call the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So the message has to go out. And this is what drew us to Mustard Seed Network, my wife and I, because we said, if there are no churches and there are no people that have Christian relationships, how are they going to know Jesus? How can we get the word out there? And that's why we want to plant more churches. An update from that video, there are actually 6 churches now, and we're looking to plant 6 more. And if we are able to have those 12 churches, if God blesses that, then we'll be able to reach 75 million people because of how densely populated Japan is. And our prayer is that the gospel will go out from those cities into the more rural areas of Japan through more churches being planted. Since 2009, we've got those 6 churches. Over 150 people have been baptized, which is amazing. We're so, so thankful. In our church in Kobe, in the last 5 years, there's been 27 people baptized, which is, we're just so, so thankful for the way that God is working. Thank you. I think God is awesome too. I'm so glad that you guys are excited about that as well. And so thinking through that the gospel is the power for salvation and that faith comes through hearing, I do want to move into our main text for today. And then I'd love to pray for us as we move on. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'd love to pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, praise you that you are the God of Kobe, Japan, of Llano, Texas, everywhere in between. Lord, I pray that your name would be glorified here today, be glorified throughout the world, wherever the good news of you is preached. Pray that you would work on our hearts today through the scripture. Lord, I feel so inadequate to stand before these people and share about how good and amazing you are and what you're doing in Japan and here in Llano as well. So I just pray that you would give me your words today and that our hearts would all be open to what you have for us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So the story from today's passage and our story, me and Bree and Ray, your story, the story of Mustard Seed Network, it's all connected because it's all part of the same big story, God's story. And so I want to look deeper at this passage by kind of summarizing it. This is how I would summarize the passage for today. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have been reconciled to God and now serve God through leading others to reconciliation with God. Now, a little information for what Bree and I have been doing over the past couple years. One of the first things we did when we got to Japan is we began learning the Japanese language. We both attended full-time language school. It was actually our job for a little while so that we could better serve and love people. What I've learned about myself in that time is my brain capacity is not so big. And so as Japanese comes in, I feel like English is going out. And so since we've been in the States the past 5 weeks or so, I feel like I'm in the middle of a conversation with someone and I just don't know what the word is anymore in English. I can only think of it in Japanese. And so I do want to take our main idea from this passage and make it a little bit smaller. And so if this is all that you take, I hope that it's this. Reconciled to reconcile. I'm just so thankful that God has chosen to reconcile us to himself and given this role of going and reconciling others. See, this is the story. This is the mission. It's been God's story long before you and I, before there was ever missionaries in Japan, before this church was ever around. In fact, thousands of years ago, God told one man, Abraham, that through him, the nations would be blessed. God said that there would be an even better prophet than Moses, and that a descendant of David would be an even better king, an eternal king. In Isaiah, we see that he says that a virgin will give birth to a son who will be called Emmanuel, who is God with us. And that child would grow up and die on a cross for you and I. And that he would be raised again. That this is God's story. This is the story that we're all a part of. I want to go back to verse 19, where it says that not counting their trespasses against them. So God has to deal with the sin, the trespasses in our lives. How does he do this? Does he forget about them? No, he deals with them. I want to reread verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So when we were up in Indiana visiting my family, I needed to get some old tax documents of mine from my dad. He took me over to his desk and he pulled out his drawer and there's all those manila folders. I don't know if they use them in Japan at all. We don't have any in our house, but he pulled out our tax folder and I got what I needed in. I just imagine one of those manila folders full of papers. The papers are falling out on the floor. My name's written on the front. And that is a file of all of my trespasses against God. And what I know ultimately is that there's actually way more than I can even imagine. But the truth is that I'm even more loved than I could possibly imagine as well. Because Christ's folder is empty. And even though I'm guilty that for my sake, for your sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. He took the punishment, all of that big folder that should have been my guilty charge, my punishment, he took that for us. I think that's pretty amazing. But it's also not the end of the story. Because we look in verse 17, that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So for all of us that have been reconciled, we know how awesome it is. We know how good God is and how much we've been forgiven. One of my favorite images for this is actually a beggar on the street who's finally found where to get bread. And just, we're just another beggar who's trying to show people where the bread is, where the life is. So how does this work out? So it feels like God has given this job to be reconcilers. He's even given us a toolbox. And inside the toolbox is one tool, and it's the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Earlier I read from Romans 10:17. I want to read the couple of verses before that to give a little bit of context of how this happens. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. See, this verse, this passage gives us a blueprint of how people can come to call on the name of the Lord. It's a little funny because it works backwards. So starting in the middle of verse 15, people are sent so that they can preach, so that people can hear and then believe and then call on the name of the Lord. See, God, for whatever reason, Bree and I ask ourselves a lot why God chose to send us to Kobe, Japan. And God has sent you to Lano and to the circles that you inhabit to take the good news of Jesus, to be those who have been reconciled, to go and reconcile others. One thing I'm afraid of for myself, and maybe you guys can connect with this as well, of I feel like sometimes we just get a little bit confused. We sometimes miss the point a little bit. So I'll be having a conversation with someone and they'll say, yeah, I'm getting to make disciples in my life. And I'm like, great, that's awesome. How are you doing that? And they're like, well, at work, I work really hard and I'm nice and I don't use bad language with the people that I work with. That's great. That's amazing. But it's not the full story. Of course, we should glorify God in our work. But if that's all that we're doing, like we talked about earlier, I don't have the power to save anyone, even through my good actions. We're leaving our tool in the toolbox of getting the gospel out there to the people in our lives and giving them an opportunity to respond to it. I know that I've struggled with this in the past, even in a context where I'm trying to share the gospel in Japan with as many people as I can, that sometimes I leave the tool in the toolbox. And our calling is to get the message out there as any way that we can. Send it, email it, speak it over coffee. And then, because again, it's not about our power to save people, we allow God to work as we herald, we preach the good news to people. I want to share a quick story with you of how God has worked through the proclamation of the gospel in Kobe. So we have some good friends of ours. So Bree and I moved to Kobe in 2018 in September, and in October, a man named Hiro-san was baptized. Hiro-san is a former Jehovah's Witness. He was searching. He was realizing that things weren't adding up. And the people in the Jehovah's Witness church program that he was in said that, well, if you go to that Christian church, they're going to beat you up, like physically. We've never hit anyone in our church. And he still came. He came and he studied and he learned and he heard the gospel preached. And in October, right after we moved, he put his faith in Jesus and was baptized. And he started sharing the gospel with his wife. And his wife said, "What are you doing? You used to hate these people. And you're going and hanging out with them every Sunday? Why are you doing that?" And he would invite her to church, She'd come every 6 months or so, pretty begrudgingly. And then they had a daughter who was actually born about 2 months after Ray was. And at that point, Hiro-san wanted to start bringing his wife and his daughter to church. She would start to come a little more often. And then also just to spend time together, we would go out and do family activities together with Hiro-san and his family. We'd go to various places in Kobe, and he just desperately wanted his wife to be around Christians. And then about a year ago, and I'm kind of in the middle of the pandemic, she started coming more often, and she agreed to do Bible study together with my wife and with our pastor's wife. And they studied. We have this study that you can see on our table in the back. It's called First Steps. And it's really basic because Japanese people have no foundation for Christianity. And normally you go through it once with someone. Well, Hiro-san's wife, Tomoko, went through it 3 times in the last year. And finally, this last May, she put her faith in Jesus and was baptized. I want to show you their picture. So Tomoko is in the baptismal there. Hiro-san and their daughter Sarah are getting to stand there and watch together. And Sarah gets to grow up in a Christian family, which is absolutely incredible. So we're so thankful to God the way that He works through the preaching of the good news. A scripture that I go back to every time we have someone in our church who's baptized. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to you those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you who are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." Thankful for churches like this one and our church in Kobe, where people can come and they can feel like they're a part of a family, part of God's family. We're really, really amazed and blessed to be able to share just a little bit about Japan with you today. I want to invite you to pray for Japan. I've got 3 ways that you can continue to be involved in what God is doing over there. First is prayer. Prayer for the 99% of people in Japan that don't know Jesus. If you're interested in staying up to date with how to pray, or you want to put a reminder on your fridge, we have some prayer cards in the back, and we also have a way to sign up for our email prayer letters. The second way, if you feel led, is to give a one-time gift to our 12 churches campaign to see those six remaining churches be planted in the 12 largest cities in Japan. And the third way is if you feel like partnering and being a part of what God is doing over the long term by giving. My wife and I are in the process of raising up our financial support so we can continue to do the work that God has called us to. And so if you'd like to partner with us in a monthly way, you can come to the back and we'll share any information that you need. We'd love for you to come back there at the end. Love to meet those of you who we haven't met. Pray together. Answer any questions about Japan. You can look at some of our Japanese stuff that we've brought with us. And finally, I just want to go back to our main passage one more time and our main point of being reconciled to reconcile. And I have two applications that are right here in our main point. First of all, if you don't yet know Jesus today, my hope is that you'll be reconciled to him. And I just want to go back to verse 21 one more time. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Your folder of sin. Christ is willing to take that punishment for you. And for those of you that have already been reconciled, I hope that that truth, that power is working in you. In Colossians 1, Paul talks about how the gospel is bearing fruit increasingly. And so the gospel has the power in our lives to continue to break down our heart idols, the parts of our heart that we're still holding on to. And we need that good news every day, not so we can be reconciled again every day, but so that we can believe more deeply in the power of the gospel. And then share that with our church community, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then, of course, we are reconciled to reconcile. And so, church, I just ask you to do this, to take that good news of Jesus out to the people in your lives that don't yet know him. You can do this by making sure you're in relationships with non-Christians. God had to move me to the other side of the world. I grew up in a Christian bubble to do that. So I hope that's a part of your life now. To share what he's doing in your life, share your testimony, whether it's 90 seconds with somebody or weeks and weeks of coffee with a friend. And then invite them to church where the gospel is preached. And maybe you're sitting here today feeling like you feel too weak to do that. Welcome to the club. God works in our weakness. While we were far off, he called us. And so I just pray that you would be heralds together of the good news of Jesus. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.